take a seat, praise God, as Brother John comes.
Thank you, Jesus, all the welcome tonight into the service. And as an introduction, I just want to read one verse from Psalms number 78, and it's verse 9, and I'm gonna try to be very, very brief tonight and not take too much time, and just try to leave one or two thoughts with you. And if you found Psalm 78, and we're going to read verse 9, maybe just stand for the reading of God's word. And it's just one verse here as an introduction, and it simply says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." And we're going to ask the Lord to bless his word again tonight. Our Father, we bless you. We come with grateful hearts, and we want to give you praise. We want to give you thanks, Lord, because, Lord, we depend upon you, Lord. But we know that we can depend upon you. And Lord, you said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be there in the midst. And Lord, we commit this meeting to you, as already has been done. But Lord, we commit even the speaking of your word and the reading of your word to you. And we pray that your word, as we know, will not return unto you void, but it'll prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. And we pray you'll bless the reading of your holy word tonight. And we thank you, Lord, because we know it's the truth. And we just ask you, Lord, now to help us. We commit it to you, Lord. We commit the remainder of this service to you. And we pray your blessing upon each dear soul that's gathered here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. You know, I just want to say a couple of things tonight. And I want to try to encourage God's people. And the more I was getting into it, and the more and more you were adding on and adding on. And I says, look, you have to cut this short, because you spend a lot of time. You spend an hour before you know where you are. This an hour has passed, and I don't know if it takes me a long time to bring something across. But I was asked to put a title on what I was wanting to say tonight. My title would be, and you know, it's maybe, I'm saying it now, and I hope that I'll stay with this. My title is No Retreat. No retreat. No turning back. And we read here about the children of Ephraim. It tells us two things about them. There are three things about them. They were armed. They were carrying bows. Now they had a second line of defense. They were armed. Now they weren't, I don't believe they were just armed with bows. I believe they were armed and they had bows also. It says the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows turned back in the day of battle. Now, that's how I come up with this title. No retreat. These boys would come to this hall and they would shout, no surrender. But you know, they have nothing in comparison to the Christian. The Christian tonight is in a battle. You're in a battle and I'm in a battle. Isn't that right? And without jumping the gun, your enemy
is the devil. He's the source. He's behind all the evil. He's behind all the darkness. He's behind all the sin. He's behind all unbelief. It's the devil. And the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now I want to encourage you this afternoon if I can, or tonight if I can. And you know, just a couple of wee things I want to drop in about Ian's funeral service. I want to say, there's a man came up to me, and this is what he said. And this man was not a believer. And he came up to me and he says, John, if there's such a thing as a good funeral, now, listen, if there's such a thing as a good funeral, that was a good funeral. And he said, not only was it a good funeral, but he says, the best funeral ever I was at in my life. That's what he said. He said he never was at a funeral like that in his life before, never. But he says, John, that's the best one ever I was at. And I want to commend everyone tonight who took part. I want to say, God bless you. And it was a blessing. And right from the very beginning, right from the word go, the Lord's hand was in it. I do really believe that. And even right down to the scriptures that Elijah and Isaac read, they were so appropriate. And everything that Pastor Tommy said, everything that Samuel said, everything that Gary said, it was very much appreciated, but also people was spoke to. And I want to say, I've seen people sitting there and the conviction of the Holy Ghost was on them. And you know, some people put on a front. Some people let on they're not affected. I want to tell you, they were affected. And they're still affected. And you know, you see this Holy Ghost, it's contagious. When you get it, you will smite somebody else. When the power of God comes on you, it comes off you, it'll come on somebody else. When the Spirit of the Lord starts to move on you, it's going to affect somebody else. It'll not only affect you, brother, it'll not only affect you, sister, but it'll affect somebody else. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Now, what I've written down here some things, and I don't want to spend a lot of your time tonight, but what is one of the most reasons why people want to turn back? Do you know what it is? Do you know what I think is the main reason? Discouragement. Discouragement. I want to say that's the work of the devil. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to close up shop. He wants you to sit down and fold your arms and say it's no use. But let me say this, we might have lost a warrior. We might have lost a battle. But we have not lost the war. The war is not over yet. You know, I said to that man who came to speak to me, and he said about John, he said, if there is a good funeral, this was a good one. And I says, well, us Christians, us believers, we're looking forward to the day when death will die. There's no more death. Death and hell give up. The dead that was in them, and they were cast alive into the lake of fire. Tell you, I look forward. I hate graveyards. Hate them. I hate graveyards. The only thing when I go to the graveyard, I'm telling you what I think. One day, one day, the graves are going to open. Hallelujah! One day they're going to open, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. We're not going to leave. We're not going to go for a short visit. We're there for eternity. Hallelujah. We're there for eternity. Tell you. Do you see the devil's job? He wants to take the heart out of you. He wants to take the legs from you. He wants to leave you powerless. He wants to render you that you're of no use. Now that is right. I'm talking very rough and very crude. But the devil doesn't like anybody. The devil hates you. Hates you. But listen, I've got bad news for him. And he knows it. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. God loves you, old person. God loves you, young person. God loves you, sinner.
Amen.
God loves the sinner. Isn't that wonderful? God loves you. Now, I want, if I can, just for a moment or two, and I want to talk about discouragement. I don't want to talk too much about discouragement. But it's one of the reasons why people turn back. Discouragement. And the children of Israel come out of Egypt and saw the miracles. Now, I've read about the children of Ephraim here turning, being armed and turning back. Now, you know, we'll maybe come to that later, how that you're armed. I want you to know you're armed. You're not defenseless. You're armed. You have got the ability to overcome Satan. You have got the ability to overcome this world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have got an ability within you that has conquered death, hell, and the grave. You have got everlasting life when you become a Christian. You have passed from death unto life. I want to say you've got ability in you to live. God has already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me say this. You have got the ability to live like a Christian ought to live. You've got that. The devil might try to discourage you, might try to stop you, but there's something inside you. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit of the living God. That's the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and it gives you the ability to live for God. It's given you that ability. Now, briefly, if I can do anything briefly, I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 1. Anna, no. Numbers chapter 21. And you know, I marked these places in my Bible so that I would be able to get them quick. And I said, oh, don't do that, Brother Moff, you'll just bring it up. But I know Matthew can't be here all the time, but he's here most of the time, and he does a real good job. And if you just bear with me, this is the case here. Now, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and then they faced a battle here. And they cried to the Lord, and the Lord gave them the victory. And then in verse 4 of Numbers chapter 21, and verse 4, you read, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged. Now, they've had a battle, they've won the battle. and then they're moving on. But the Bible tells us that the soul of the people was much disgraced because of the way. Because of the road, I've wrote down here. Because of the path. Because of their surroundings. The way wasn't easy. Listen, the Lord never promised you that the way would be easy. You know, we used to hear him on, he always quoted a wee song or a wee cliche, and it said, "Lo, the way be steep and rough, if he leads me, that's enough."
Amen.
If he's leading the way,
amen,
that's enough. But these children of Israel was discouraged because of the way. You know, they had to fight for every inch. You know, when you become a Christian, you have to fight for every inch. The devil will fight you on all fronts. He'll try to discourage you all the time. He'll try to make you want to pull back. He wants you to retreat. He wants you to sit down. Take it easy. Sit down and fold your arms. You know what has happened in the world today? We know what has happened in the world today. Some churches today no longer have prayer meetings. Not right. No more prayer meetings. Why no more prayer meetings? Well, they say, sure, it could be over. That's what the devil wants. Now, I tell you the meeting that the devil hates, the prayer meeting. He hates the prayer meeting because people are in there interceding before God on behalf of them who are maybe not able to intercede for themselves. And he doesn't want anybody saved. He doesn't want anybody filled with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want anybody healed or delivered or set free. See, that's his kingdom. The Bible says in that one of the veils that was poured out in the book of Revelations was the fifth angel poured out his veil, and he poured it out upon the seat of the beast, and the Bible says his kingdom was full of darkness. Full of darkness. And that's an hour sermon on its own. But we're living in a world today that's full of darkness. But listen, I don't want to get away late. I don't want to take up your time tonight. But listen, these people was disgraced because of their surroundings. Their surroundings. What they saw. What they saw. They was disgraced. Their heart was affected. You know, the believer's heart is being affected every day now. Why? Turn on the news and listen to it. Pick up a newspaper, listen to it. I went to the shop last night. My wife, well, Christmas. We went into a shopping centre last night. Oh. Farmers shouldn't go to shop. But when we went looking for one shop in particular. When we went, the shop was closed. And it wasn't only closed for the day. It was closed, full, not to reopen. But I needn't start to tell you. And I've started to say it, but I have to finish it. There was two or three women in that shop. Well, you would have knew they were women, I'll tell you. But I thought, I wonder what they wear in bed. We see what they were wearing. People wear more in bed. People wear as much going to the bath. But you see that tonight on the news, Scotland wants to pass a law to help you, to help the transvestites.
Transgender.
Thank you, Philip. They want to pass a law to make it easy. A school teacher, I met a school teacher, I was maybe telling some of the brothers, I met a school teacher once, and I was at that hotel in Enniskillen, and I met a school teacher, and she says to me, I have given up my job as a school teacher. I no longer can do it. I no longer can be bothered with it, because if I have a wee boy or a wee girl in my class, and the wee boy comes up and says, I have to go to the toilet, and he goes out and he goes to the girl's toilet, I'm not allowed to say to him, you're a boy, you can't go in there. But he has freedom to go into the girl's toilet, for he says he's a girl, he's not a boy no more. This is people's rights, but it's also his kingdom is full of darkness.
Amen.
They're calling sweet bitter and bitter sweet. They're calling light darkness and they're calling darkness light. It's a perversion, and Satan is not a creator. He never could make anything. All he could ever do was pervert something that is good. But these people, I'm spending a lot of time, these people was... they're disgraced because of what they saw. Because of what they saw, they were disgraced. And you can get discouraged even looking at the world. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not of the world. That Jesus said, what did he say about the world? Love's not the world. None of the things are of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not even in him. But I thank God tonight, when you get this love of God in you, when you get the love of the Father in you, you have a hope. And you're not interested in the things of the world. Look at the TV over Christmas. What have they to offer? They're putting on programs about the devil. Putting on programs. Oh, lies. Put on programs for children. You know what they're like? Horror movies. They want to put fear into the hearts of wee children. You know, my woman said that the grandchildren was going to the town to see Santa Claus. He says they're going to see Frankenstein Monster too. Maybe they'll see him before they're home. But I said to Ben, if you pull his beard, he gives you more. And he grabbed a hold of his bird. He started yanking on it. I wasn't even there, but I told him that. He picked that up. He didn't forget. And he got the hold of him by the bird. And he's pulling at it. We say it was like himself. It was false. See. But you see what's going on. You get discouraged, Daisy. Now, I said that them people, by the way, was discouraged because of what they saw. I want to read Numbers 32, chapter 32, and I want to read you verse 9. And this was the children of Israel, where they went up to look at the land. And verse 9 says, For when they went up onto the valley of Eshcol, and saw the land, they disgraced the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Disgraced the heart. See, disgraced the heart of them. Now, I said earlier that these children of Israel was disgraced. By the way, they were disgraced because of what they saw. Now they've been disgraced because of what they've heard. And the people went up to spy the land, and we know the story where there's 12 spies went, but there was only two brought back a good report. And the other 10, they brought back an evil report. And if you'll just turn over the page, I know it was just over the page in my Bible, and it's Deuteronomy chapter 1. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it's the verse I want to read you is verse 28. Now listen, and you are listening, but listen to verse 28. And this is, the people has got this unbelief into their heart, and they've got this discouragement into their heart. And verse 28 says, well, shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And somebody said they were the giants. So these people have been discouraged with what they have seen, and also they've been discouraged by what they have heard. And there's something else, and I'm going to drop it in here tonight. I don't want to spend too much time on this. It wasn't the ungodly that discouraged them. The Bible says their brethren discouraged them. I'll read it again. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying. You know, it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? But you know the best thing? Never argue with anybody over doctrine. Never get into a heated debate. If the brother can't see it, let it alone, pass on. Or even, I'm not saying back down from what you believe, no, for the Bible says stand. And having done all, to stand. But here's these people, and they're discouraged. They were discouraged by what they saw, and now they're being discouraged by what they heard. And they said, well, shall we go up? How are we going to do this? Well, you know, Hezekiah, one time there was a great army coming against him, and somebody said to Hezekiah, what's going to happen? And Hezekiah said, well, them people's working with the arm of flesh, but we're working with Almighty God, and he's going to deliver us. Amen. Now, I don't want to get off my subject, but listen, this was man's report. This was the arm of flesh putting the report on it. Our brethren has disgraced us. Our brethren has said, don't you go down to Lochbricklin, because there's going to be nothing in Lochbricklin for you. That's what he wants. Your brother. Your brother in the Lord now. Your brother. Don't you go on the streets, brother. You're never going to get anybody saved there. No, you're not. Don't you be giving out tracts, brother. Oh, brother, I have tried that. I have done that. It didn't work. Don't you pray for the sick, brother. That's not your gift. Funny people can tell you what gifts you haven't got. But do you ever meet a man and say, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift? Do you ever meet a man like that? Well, this was the Apostle Paul was like. He said, I want to come unto you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift. In other words, look, God might use me in a gift, and God might allow me to lay hands on you, and you get a gift. No discouragement. No retreat. Only forward. You know, a wee thing about carrying a bow. I have a Bible at home, and in the margin it talked about carrying a bow, and you know what it said, what that meant in the Hebrew? It means to shoot forth. Amen. See, when you come into church, shoot forth. Use what you have. Use what you've got. Shoot forth. You know what else something about shooting forth? A man that shoots an arrow doesn't always know what it has done. He mightn't know that it has hit the target. And you see, it mightn't happen right away, but it could happen later. So when you pray for somebody, or when you witness to somebody,
amen,
they mightn't get saved right away, but you have sowed the seed. You have left it in the hands of God. You have done your part. God will do his part. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. Now, what did the Lord say? Now, I've told you what the brethren said, but what did the Lord say? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I think it's verse... It is. It's verse 21. Out of all this talking, this is what the Lord said. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Fear not, neither be discouraged. Don't be discouraged tonight, sister. Don't be discouraged tonight, brother. Fear not, don't be discouraged. You know, that's what the Lord said. And that's what I believe the Lord is saying to us tonight as a church, as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And whether you're in this fellowship or whether you're not in this fellowship, if you're in Christ tonight, if you're a servant of the Lord tonight, no matter where you serve Him, no matter where you go, the Lord is saying to you, fear not and don't you be discouraged. I believe you'll be rewarded. God wants to reward us. I really believe that. So, I'm going to come to the conclusion briefly if I can. There was a man that was called Jesus. And Isaiah the prophet spoke about him hundreds of years before he came to this earth. And I'm turning to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, if you want to turn with me, or if you just want to listen, that's quite all right. The Word of God's alive. The Word of God, you know, just when I'm on, there was a court case not long ago in England, and I don't know if there even was one here in Northern Ireland, and they're trying to get a law passed that you're not allowed to read the scriptures out loud on the public street because it is offensive to some people. Trying to get that law passed where if you go on the street and the public and you open your Bible and you read the scripture out loud, you can be prosecuted. They want to make it that if you do that, you'll be breaking the law of the land. See, that's the kingdom of darkness. All his methods are evil. But anyway, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Now this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe also it's not only talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it's talking about every man and every woman that is a believer in Christ. Now let me say this also just in passing. You were never meant to be like God, but you're meant to be like Christ. Why do we sing the wee song? To be like Jesus. Amen. All I ask is to be like Him. All through life's journey from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like Him. So you're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you're not to be like God, because God's an object of worship. And God said He wouldn't give His glory to anybody else. And I believe it's even in this chapter 42. Now listen to this. Verses 1, I'm reading down to verse 4. At the moment, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect, my servants and my elect. You know, I'm speaking to the elect of God tonight. You're elected. God elected you. I didn't elect you. Pastor Tommy didn't elect you. No elder, no deacon, no good man, no minister elected you. God elected you. You're elected. You were elected before the foundation of the world. God knew you. God knew you've been this room tonight. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. Now listen. In whom my soul delighteth. He can say to Satan, did you see my servant Job, that there's none like him? He said he went down and he spoke face to face with Moses, didn't he? And then he went and he buried Moses. I tell you, my delighted, you know whom the Lord God delighted in? His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was that? He never sinned one time in his life. He couldn't sin, for he was without sin.
He was not born in sin, but he was conceived in the womb of a virgin called Mary by the Holy Ghost that overshadowed her. Amen. Hallelujah. And a man said to me, no later than today, he said, John C.S. Lewis said, God become a man. God become us, that we might become him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That we might become his servants and his subjects and his elect. And listen to what it says. He says, I've put my spirit upon him. Put my spirit upon him. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God upon him. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break. What's a bruised reed? I'm going to tell you what a bruised reed is. It's a Christian who's suffering. It's a Christian who has come through the mill. It's a Christian who has suffered persecution. And it's a Christian that's in little tribulation. Not great tribulation, but little tribulation. That's a bruised reed. The Bible says Jesus is not going to break that bruised reed. He says he's going to heal it instead. God will never break you. God doesn't want to break you. God wants to heal you. God wants to do you good. He doesn't want to do you bad. He doesn't want to do you evil. He wants to do you good. And he says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now listen to verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But also I believe it's not only the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe it's the believer in Christ. And I'm going to read on a few verses here, and I'm going to soon close this part of the service. Listen to a few more verses here, and we'll maybe just read down to verse 8. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens, stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit of them that walk therein. Verse 6, I want you to apply this to yourself tonight in this meeting. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's the Lord speaking. But I want you to apply that to yourself. Now I know it's talking about Christ, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe it has a compound meaning.
I believe, why do I believe that? Because personally I have known of evangelists who prayed for blind people and they received their sight. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, he went to Africa one time and he was having a crusade and there was hardly anybody at it. And he asked a man to come to pray for the sick and the man never turned up. And he kept waiting on the man to turn up at the next meeting and the man still didn't turn up and the man never turned up. And Reinhard Bonnke was left with a situation where he was going to have to pray for the sick himself. And he went into the meeting and he started to preach. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and as he preached, he was coming near the end of his sermon, perhaps, and he said, I want everybody in here who is totally blind to stand upon your feet. And he says, if you have never seen anybody before, or never seen anything in your life, I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to know that you're about to see a white man. Now I call that the spirit of prophecy. And I also call the spirit of prophecy the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. No testimony of Jesus, no spirit of prophecy. A man made thought nothing from God. But when you have the testimony of Jesus, you can have, thus saith the Lord, you can have something from Almighty God. And he said, you're going to see a white man, and I want you to know that there was four people stood up who were totally blind, and then the next thing you heard was, I can see, I can see, I can see, over the building, and then four people received their sight. See, when that happens, that's not the arm of flesh, that's Almighty God. That's the Holy Spirit of the living God moving among God's people. Now, I told you were armed. I know you're armed. I'm going to tell you that. I know you're armed. I want to tell you something else. The devil knows you're armed. But that's why he's against you. Now, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and I'm almost through. You've listened well, and I want to leave time to pray tonight, but Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6, and this is well-known scripture. You could tell me things about this that I probably don't know, but in verse 10 he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, there's a wee verse or two on down here, and it goes for what I was wanting to maybe say to you tonight. I've spent a lot of time on discouragement and them sorts of things. But there's a wee verse or two in here, and it would be like being in a battle and you're not to retreat. No retreat. No surrender. And it says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the Bible talks about the devil. He was cast out of heaven. And I believe he was cast out of heaven long, long ago. And I believe he was in it like a tear. Now a man preached a sermon to me once that even, and I'm not going to mention any names, but he says, John, there's only one heaven. And there's no tears in heaven. And there's no levels in heaven. Well, Paul said he knew a man above 13 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, how he was caught up to the third heaven.
Amen.
And he heard words that was unlawful or unspeakable. Now, I believe there's tears in heaven, and I believe that Satan was cast out of heaven, but he could still, there was a department where he could still visit. He could still go, but when Jesus Christ went to the cross, and I'll tell you what that department was. That was the department where he held Abraham and the Old Testament saints. He held them in the captivity, and they were in paradise. And Saul went down to the witch at Endor, and he says, call up Samuel. And the witch, she got in the media spirit and she called up Samuel, and Samuel came up. The real prophet of God came up. Samuel came up, and Brother Brown said he was still a prophet. Yes, he was. Lord had departed from him and hadn't spoke to him. And Samuel says, you'll be with me tomorrow. Don't let anybody ever tell you Saul was lost. For if Saul was lost, so was Samuel. For Saul died and he went to be with Samuel. And Samuel wasn't lost, he was a prophet of God. And the Bible says that God let none of his words fall to the ground. But Jesus hadn't died and rose again. But when Jesus was going to the cross, what did he say? He said, now is the prince of this world judged. Amen. Now is he cast out.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Where was he cast out of? He was cast out of the paradise realm in heaven. And he was holding them Old Testament saints. But when Jesus rose, them old saints rose with him. And they went into Jerusalem and appeared unto many people in the streets. Didn't appear to anybody. Didn't appear to the Sun newspaper. Didn't appear to the newsletter. Didn't appear to the Daily Mail. Are no rubbish. It appeared to saints chosen by God. Can you imagine an old saint walking down through Jerusalem, and he said, I met Abraham. What? Abraham? You met Abraham? Yes, I met Abraham. Not only that, I think Don was Isaac with him. Young Isaac, young Abraham, young Jacob. Hallelujah!
You see, now here's it. Why did I say all them things? I don't know. Listen. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you don't wrestle with a brother in a different denomination who has a different opinion. Don't you wrestle with that man, or don't you argue with him. Tell him what you believe and say, well, that's all right. We're not going to fall out with it. Well, if you want to come with me to preach the gospel on the street, I'll go. If you want to come with me to pray for somebody, I'll go. Listen, we don't wrestle with our brothers or our sisters. You're wrestling against principalities and powers. Against, the Bible says, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is the devil. It says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Against the rulers of darkness of this world. The ones that say, you can't say if that's a boy or a girl. The ones that say, oh, you can't be a Christian and not say, oh, a man can't love a man or kiss a man. You know, sin's so bold to put on two men on the television kissing each other. You'd be as well kissing a boar pig. It wouldn't be as dirty. At least you'd get a grunt in the pig. What is wrong today? Full of demons. Full of principalities and powers and uncleanness, unclean spirits released into this world. This world's going as fast to hell as it can go. But we're the light of the world. Brother and sister, you're the light of the world. Don't forget that. Oh, I'm always slow with the preaching. Rulers of darkness. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, that's the second time that Paul has told us in this chapter. He's told us twice to take on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand them. What does that tell you? No, that tells you he's coming to attack you. That's right. He's come to attack you. He'll challenge you. He will put you to the test. But if you have the armor of God on you, you'll be able to withstand him. Now you go out on a wet day with a rainproof jacket on you, the rain will not have the same effect. Why, it'll run after you like water off a duck. If you come up against the wiles of the devil with the armor of God on you, the devil has no
He has nothing to take thee.
You'll have it. What will withstand him? Withstand him,
that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day.
You know, these are evil days that we're living in, because of sin and because of perversion.
Now, I'm sorry. And then the Bible says, and having done all to stand. Oh, praise the Lord. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore. You know, I was writing down some things. I was writing down, if you're in a battle and you start to retreat, that's what the enemy wants. You're never going to win the battle if you start to retreat. But if you can't go forward, if you can stand your ground, if you can stand still, you haven't lost anything. And this is what Paul is saying here. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he gives us a great clue here. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise the Lord. I'm going to end it there. I have to apologize to you, because what time is it, Tommy? 5 to 9? Oh, you give me a shock. Well, we're not too bad. I thought you said it was 5 to 9. I thought, you know, I was trying to do this 10 minutes, but you know, forgive me after. You've listened well. I want you to know I'm not here tonight to discourage anybody. I want to encourage you. What? I want to encourage you. There's plenty of things to discourage the believer. But I believe we need to encourage each other, so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, maybe sing a wee song. We're going to come to prayer. I'm not going to ask Tommy to come now. Maybe Tommy can come at near the end or whatever. But maybe we'll sing a wee song. And when we sing this wee song, I want you to start praying. I want you to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, if the devil could do it, he would keep you at home tonight. He doesn't want you coming here. He doesn't want you in any prayer meetings. He doesn't want you interceding on behalf of anybody. He doesn't want you to make supplication on behalf of anybody. He wants to close you down. He wants to make you that you're non-effective. But see, when you start to pray, oh, you know the best way to sicken him. Remind them of what the Lord has done. Amen. It's one of the best ways to sicken them. Remind them of how the Lord has answered prayer. He has answered prayer. Now, we greatly miss our brother Ian tonight. But as was said at the funeral, Ian wouldn't want you to stop. He'd want you to keep shouting glory. He'd want you to keep pressing the bottle to the gate. You know, there was a wee song, and I couldn't sing it. If I could sing it, I would sing it tonight. And my brother Shelley sang it. He said, press on, it won't be very long until we reach that land of song. I tell you, it's only a short time.
Amen.
And what is about, you see, the devil was cast out of heaven. But he's cast out a different realm. He lost ground, and he lost ground again. There's a realm in heaven that he never can go back to. He was cast out, and when he was cast out, the Bible says that the Lord led captivity captive, and he gave the gifts unto men. And the Holy Ghost come on you, come on the Gentiles, come on the Jews, but also come on the Gentiles. And you know, one of the preachers in the New Testament, when he heard that the household of Cornelius had received the Holy Ghost, what did he say? He said, then hath God also granted repentance unto life to the Gentiles also. Isn't that wonderful? Repentance unto life, because the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they said to them, how did you know the Holy Ghost fell on them? Well, he says they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. And who was I that I could withstand God? That's what Peter said. And he was a Jew to the backbone. He wasn't interested in Gentiles. But God had to show him. Hallelujah! I want you to sing this wee song with me tonight. It's hymn number 393, you think. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Is that right? Check it out and see. Well, you had to watch me sometimes. I don't want to leave you to stay. But I think that's that wee hymn number. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying. Still praying as I'm onward bound. You know, I thank God for a church that has a prayer meeting.
Amen.
I thank God for a group of people that will come together for a prayer meeting. If it's only in a car, if it's only in a wee room, if it's only in the garage, wherever it is, if it's only a wee wooden hut, come together for a prayer meeting. The devil hates it. Glory. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet. Higher ground. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing this. I'm going to go down there and sit down. I'll try and stay a while. I didn't bring the hymn book up with me, but thank you, Tommy. You know, my book's behind, or I get a book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing this tonight by faith. Sing it by faith. I'm not here to tell you this because I'm not accusing anybody of retreating. No, I'm not. I'm only here to say, keep going on. Keep going on, brother. Keep going on, sister. Don't draw back. Don't turn back. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this as we can. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I gain every day. Sorry, I missed it. Lord, plant my feet on high. Lord, lift me up and my song while climbing shall resound. Lord, lift me on to higher ground. Hallelujah. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland,
where love and joy and light abound.
Glory.
On him I feel.
On higher ground. Lord, lead me up the mountainside. I dare not climb without grateful heart from higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland,
where love and
joy and light abound.
Lord, plant my feet
on higher.
Amen. You may have your seats tonight. And that's my prayer tonight. And I want you to make it your prayer. And I just want you to come now and be yourself in the presence of the Lord. And then we'll have a time of prayer. And then Tommy's going to come and speak to us. And then our brother Gary will help to lead us in the sermon again. Praise the Lord.